You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Hi, everybody. We're here at our home, and we want to welcome you to worship and praise and a morning of adoration of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've never done this way in our home before. And we're excited to say hello to our frontline family and our family abroad, everybody, friends, everybody who is connecting in right now. We're very excited about this because even in the midst of this crisis, we know that God is good. And we know that Jesus is on the throne. And we're very, very confident of that. If we weren't, we would be in panic mode, and we're not. But we know that panic is a real feeling and a real thing. Fear is really strong. And we know that Jesus has another way of looking at everything that's going on. And we are welcoming everybody in who is coming. Many of our global friends are joining us this morning. So hello, everybody. And we're having worship this morning because we're in a state of just constant trust in the Lord. We're worshiping the Lord. We're praising the Lord. And we have words of life. We have Pastor Samuel and Mama Vera from Life Christian Center International from Ghana who are here with us this morning. They've been in America for several weeks, and we're very excited to hear from them as well. They've been partners in our ministry since 1999 with our ministry, so we're excited to have that. And also, when we're worshiping the Lord today, we're just inviting you into His presence, and that is our safe place, our strong tower, with a strong emphasis on the Word, so that we're biblically based and Spirit-oriented always, and just trusting the Lord for everything that He wants to accomplish. Really excited about that. I was reminded this week of something that actually Bill Johnson said that touched me. One word about what is biblical hope, and he said, biblical hope is joyful anticipation of good. And I thought, well, that's a good word, especially in the midst of what is a crisis all around the world. We don't deny that. We believe it. We take it extremely seriously. We praise God for our government here in America, both nationally and locally in our state. And we just want to say thank you and bless you for taking this seriously and helping us know how to better navigate. And all those who are giving their lives in the medical arenas and any area to support our community, to support our nation, to support all of us. We need you, and we're very grateful, and we're praying for you. So having said that, we'll be praying later for everyone, our government, and we're keeping abreast of what is going on here that directly affects us in our community, but also in our state, again, in our nation, and the many nations, all the nations around the world. So we're partnering with our global friends, we're listening, we're hearing, we're staying connected in, and I really believe that the Lord is gonna bring an end to the to this virus. I believe it, but He's using so many people, and He's calling all of us to band together, to link arms together, to be able to support one another, because the Bible tells us that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So to best love our neighbor, which is all of us right now, I mean, across the street, down the street, our kids, grandkids, families, everybody, the best way we can support that and to do that is to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then corporately together, we present a united front in the face of a war we're in. And President Trump said, we're in a war. We believe it. It's a war that's difficult to see, isn't it? And so we really, you know, are all experiencing something new. And sometimes the people might say, oh, don't feel bad. You go, oh, okay. Or they might say, don't fear. And we go, oh, okay. But when we are actually addressing fear itself, we really, really want to know that Jesus is not only an antidote, He is the solution, and he carries no fear. So we're drawing each one of us we trust into fear, and to actually know that God is in control, and we believe that we're going to support the Lord in what he's doing. We want to hear what he's saying, and we want to move in a kingdom way, which means, what do you say about this, Jesus? So this is a time to draw in to intimacy with our Lord. And if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ or don't know him well, this is the time for us to take the time. And I think we're in positions now where many of us are able to take more time, spend more time, and to present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable act of worship and service. And then the Lord says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the changing and renewing of your mind, that you would know, and we want to know, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in this day, we want to be part of the solution and say, Lord Jesus, you carry the solution, and you're pulling all of us together. We live in a great country, a great society. We're so, so blessed, and we thank everyone who is just taking this seriously and then saying, God, how do we best move through this so that we can see your best and your highest will come to pass, because you're good. You're really good. So I thank God for that. And I just wanted to read a scripture that the Lord highlighted to me this morning. And this is in 2 Chronicles 16:9. I love this. This has always been an encouraging scripture to me in my life, going through good times, not so easy or good times. It's always been kind of an anchor for me. And it reads, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. Well, I guess this global crisis means throughout the earth. So this is a promise in scripture. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he, Lord Jesus, may strongly support those whose heart are completely his. And I really like the wording, strongly support. And other versions of the Bible say, he shows himself strong. So that means he's strong, and he's stronger than coronavirus. He's stronger than this pandemic. And he's stronger than anything. And he says, he will not do anything without revealing it to his prophets. So he's speaking, and we want to hear and listen carefully so that we're navigating properly, so people are listening to him and responding and helping others come into a relationship of depth where we can hear Holy Spirit telling us what to do, where to go, where to stop, where to go, where to go beyond that. That's what we want to do. And so we want to enter into worship this morning to just exalt the name of the Lord. He's our King. He's our strong tower. And the righteous run to him, unto it, and we're safe. You know, we've heard Psalm 91 is the national song. It's true. It's internationally true. So we just encourage you, we'll be speaking more about this today, but encourage you to spend more time reading it and believing it. Don't just read, don't just think and go, yeah, I hear it up here. Let the Lord touch our hearts. Spend time. Quiet our souls. The Lord promises in Psalm 23, he says he's going to restore our soul. It's like, huh, that means our thinking. That means our wills, our emotions, and our bodies. He's going to restore. He's our redemptive God, and he wants to release his redemption all over the world. This is King Jesus. This is Jesus who came to this earth from heaven, laid his life down, and he just gave everything for love, so he would do what we can't do for ourselves. He came to set us free. The word says that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross for us. So he is joy. He is faith.
That's right.
He is healing. He is deliverance.
Yes, Lord.
He is the answer to coronavirus.
That's right.
That's not negating anything anyone's doing. I have the highest respect for our political authorities. I love it. And I pray that all of us will bend our knee under the authority of the Most High God, who is the divine physician. He is the greatest mind that ever lived. And he understands us more than we understand ourselves. So we go beyond saying, hey, don't be afraid. The Bible says don't be afraid, and I'm not saying we shouldn't say that, but don't be afraid. Trust in me. Know me. Lean into me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I'll direct your paths. Come on. It's true. It was true 2,000 years ago. It was true. It's true today. And it's true even more today in a reality, in a sense of reality for us, so that we would take this seriously. So as children are watching, kids, this is for you. It's not just for parents, not just for grandparents. It's for everybody all across the world. The Lord wants to ignite a spiritual flame of love on the inside. He wants to ignite us. He wants us to come to Him. He invites us to come. We sent out an email earlier this week, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses before we go into worship. We want to just position ourselves to worship the Lord. One verse that we put was in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And this is a really powerful life verse for all of us, especially now. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a promise. I will give you rest. And then he gives us another mandate. He says, take my yoke upon you. And then he says, learn from me. I want to learn from you. I want to receive your yoke, which is your strength around me, positioning me for safety and wholeness to be able to receive you and then fully reach out to others. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What? He's not burdened. Jesus is not burdened by the coronavirus. He's not burdened. He's saying, come to me. That doesn't mean check your brain at the door. That doesn't mean stay away from television and never know what's going on. Hey, we watch every presidential report, every governor's report we listen to and watch. We're aware. We are believing what is going on, and we're not minimizing it. We're not saying it's not serious. It is. But the Lord says, in the middle of the seriousness, let my joy overtake you, overwhelm you. Let my faith become your faith, so that you are strong and mighty and can stand up in courage and do great and mighty things for the Lord. We can't just grab courage and say, I'll take it. The Lord gives courage as we step out and say, let me lean into you. I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I had the answers, but you are the one who has the answers. There's a reason for everything. And we do know that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Okay? So this is kind of obvious, but the Lord says, I have come to give life, yes, and life Lord. More abundantly.
Yes, Lord.
That's where we concentrate. I have come to give life and life more abundantly. So he wants to give us life on the inside in the midst of death, in the midst of suffering and chaos. Our hearts break for the things that are breaking the heart of God. Our hearts are broken. But the Lord says, let me protect you, and then I will continue to use you. And that's being wise. So the true wisdom of God that comes from the fire of God on the inside. So we're hearing what He is saying and following His heedings and His warnings that are coming. And He'll use anyone to give us proper warning in the Spirit. We must listen and discern the times. Okay? We must realize that these are the times. The sons of Issachar realize that. He's saying, be like them in the Scripture so that you will know what I'm saying and doing, and you will not resist my voice, because He's here to help us and to step into the overcoming and the conquering of all of this. I believe that great days are ahead in the future, and I believe that these days are good, even in the midst of the pain, the heartache, and the sorrow. And our hearts go out to all who are struggling, and we offer ourselves the best way we know how. But we want to do it with a tank of Holy Spirit love, joy, peace, and wisdom that's filled up and overflowing. Because Jesus is the answer. When He says, do not fear. He says, do not fear. Do not fear. We all know someone, or many of us know someone that we highly respect. and his name is Brother Yun. And Brother Yun was in prison so many years ago in China for his faith and led with others a great revival in China. Isn't that interesting that this is where this was birthed? But the Lord, through all the suffering, all the chaos, and all the beginnings of revival, he brought so many into the kingdom. Read his book, Heavenly Man. We have time in this season. And Living Waters also. And read those books. That will give you encouragement, strength. Find them while you can. Heavenly Man. Okay, and Brother Yun would tell us, live in that place. Live in that place of joy and peace. And so we know that in this season, I'm looking for his words. I just wrote a few words down because he was on the other day. He says, Buyapa, Yesu I need. That means do not fear. Those are words that Jesus gave him when he was miraculously released from prison. He lived hell on earth. Probably beyond the coronavirus, he has seen things that none of us have seen. And so he is smiling and saying, Jesus is the answer. And he knows, amongst others, many others in the world, he knows that when we trust in our Savior, that we'll see him as the gentle shepherd and we'll find our safe places. I'm so encouraged. I want to read one more scripture, and we're going to go into a time of worship and praise and adoration, and then hear more of the word. So I'm excited about this. And this is a very familiar verse to many of us, and it's in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. John 7, 37 through 39. It says, Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He says, He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I want to live with rivers of living water of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, flowing out of me. And it's an invitation. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Are we thirsty for the truth? Are we thirsty for our God? Are we thirsty for the one who holds the keys to eternity? Are we thirsty for the one who has given us breath and life? Are we thirsty for the one who knows, who is not upset, he's not discouraged, he's not taken by surprise, he knows exactly what's going on? Are we thirsty to know him? Are we thirsty today? We just cry out today. Say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm thirsty for you. Lord, I need you to settle my life. I need you to bring the order. I need you to help me in the midst of the chaos. I need you to help me in the midst of this storm. How could you be in a boat in the middle of a storm and you say, peace be still? Because you were completely tethered, Lord, to our Father. That's what he's got for us as we're trying to figure out life. So as we see what could be very looming and scary, we're saying, Lord, we partner with you. Whatever you say, whatever you do, we stand with you. You are not pleased that a coronavirus is killing off your beloved. Okay, so we're partnering with you, and we're saying no. We're saying we rebuke that at the end of this coronavirus together with you, in your name, in your power, in your authority, in your strength, that we would be able to gather people in and be able to help and stand in this time with you. The Lord says if you are with him, he's with you. We don't want to be against him in any way. So thank you for coming and joining us so far this morning. Our plan is to show up, worship the Lord, say what's on our heart, have communion together, say, Jesus, here we are, and stand in unity with God himself. Let me just tell you something really quickly. Just over a month ago, our team was in Brazil, and we were at a stadium in Brazil, and we were part of what's called the Send. And that was amazing. It was an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And in the Send, there were 140,000 plus people, three stadiums, simultaneously. Everybody come, call other people to watch. Everybody call people to watch and tune in and join us if you haven't done that. please do that. And this will be recorded and they can catch the beginning of this message also. But back to the sand, I just wanted to tell you, that was such an amazing time in Sao Paulo for us. There were two stadiums in Sao Paulo and one in Brasilia. Operating at the same time, 140,000 plus people worshiping God, praising the Lord. What an incredible time of an outpouring of the Spirit of God. The Lord was saying, cry out, here I am, Lord. I give myself to you. Send me in the highways and the byways to my neighbors, to other nations. Send me so that I'm filled with you and I care what you say and I can fulfill the Great Commission the way you say. It was so wonderful. It was so amazing. And I wanted to tell you that, you know, you think that's a joke where now we can't even be close together? No, the Lord knew and he was behind that. And I thank Andy Bird and many other people, Tao, and many other people who were putting this together. And we had the privilege of participating and seeing God move. And just looking around at all these people, it's like, Lord, you're going to do it. This is the year 2020. This is the year you're going to do it. So many people are planning for stadium evangelism where people can come and say, here I am, God. I'm worshiping you. I love you. Or I don't even know you. What's going on? And people will be swept into the truth that Jesus is King. We were undone at that stadium event. It was so wonderful. And here we are, 3 to 4 weeks later, whatever it is. And everybody's in their homes. And in states of trauma, many. It's like, Lord, what's on your mind? What's on your heart? We can't go to India in a few weeks right now. Your borders are closed. Okay. So what does that mean? Peace be still. I know what I'm doing. What? How does this fit? We're seeking him. We need to take time for him. We need to quiet our souls and say, Jesus, you're the answer. I quiet my heart. I quiet my soul. I'm not even sure if I know you. I'm not even sure if I've given my whole heart and life to you. Lord, if I've ever needed you, if I've ever felt that there wasn't a God, I'm changing my heart and mind. If I've ever stepped in and made a declaration as a child, I'm giving myself to you, to hope in you. And I present myself to you because I believe that you came from earth, from heaven, and you came down to earth because of love. You came down to earth to give me life. You came down to earth to completely set me free from my sin and the sin of the world. You became sin. You became evil. You became everything that I am so that I could live. I could live in resurrection life. If you believe that, just say, yes, Jesus. Just say, I believe. I believe. And Lord Jesus, you died and you were buried. And everything in me, even coronavirus in this world, everything was taken upon the cross, upon you, buried underneath. And when you rose up 3 days later, Lord Jesus Christ, in resurrection life, resurrection power, you said, here I am, peace be with you. It's finished. I'm the answer. The Lord says, the answer is me. Give him your entire life right now. Just quietly where you are in your homes, whoever's watching, say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm hearing the truth. And I invite you to overtake my life completely. I give myself to you. I can see that you died for the sin of the world, for the separation, for the sickness, for everything that is away from heaven, away from your heart, O Father in heaven. You took it upon yourself, Jesus, so that we could live, so we could be in right standing and relationship, depending on you for everything, for the rest of our lives. Lord, we repent before you right now, and we turn away. We turn away from anything contrary to who you are, Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us. Forgive our sin. What you say sin is any separation from your way, your will, your word, anything, but it does not exalt your name. Lord, take this sinful nature and give me a new nature. If that's you today, just invite him in as you confess to him. If this is you renewing and just saying, Lord Jesus, here I am. I've not lived for you. Do the same, because he meets us where we are. He loves us so much. Lord, save everyone listening today and fill everyone with the Spirit of the living God today. Because without you, streams of living water will not bubble up. And we need you. We need your presence. There's more coming here. We're going to share in communion. And if you've experienced this resurrection change, wow. Let me just tell you that the times that we're living in, we know are very dangerous. And as I was coming back before all the dental offices were closed, coming back from the dentist last week, I was coming down 77 South near our house, and I saw a homeless man, and he was on the ramp. You know, I need help. In my eyes, I've seen and helped other people before, like most of you, any of you, maybe all of you. But this time, the Lord just breathed something into me. And he said, go help him. Go do whatever's needed. And he told me what to do. It's like, wow. Nobody saw me. And I'm only telling this to encourage you to step out in your neighborhood. To step out. Help anybody you can beyond your four walls. As the Lord leads wisely. Very wisely. The wisdom of heaven. Being obedient to the authorities of heaven and the authorities we have. Wisely. And so when I stopped, I didn't even have what I needed to give him, so I had to go find what I needed to give him. And I went and found it and made my way back. And you know what? And met him. And it's my new friend George, who has a new beginning and a new life. All the time when I was trying to find what I needed to present to him, I had these thoughts going, you know what? You've got guests in your home. You've got this to do. You've got that to do. Go take care of that. He'll be fine. Just pray for him from afar. You already waved to him. The Lord said, no, stop for the one. So when I heard that in my heart, I went back and he looked at me. He saw me coming as I'm running across the ramp. And he looked at me like, oh, I thought you were going to bring such and such. And I said, I am and more. And he goes, okay, thank you so much. And I said, but this is for you, to give you physically what you need. But I'm telling you, the one you need to know is Jesus Christ. I said, he is my joy. He is my peace. He's the solution. He's going to change your life. He came to this earth for you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to give your entire life for him. As I'm speaking to him, he's crying. Nobody can see that. I'm telling this to you to encourage you. And when he looked up, he said, I want to give my life to Jesus. I said, please, count the cost. This is your entire life. This is not accepting an idea. This is a person. This is developing a relationship with the Lord and Savior of the universe as you invite him into your life to become your Lord, Savior, and King. I'm telling you. He will change everything, and then your life will have, maybe for the first time, a new beginning to extend the purpose that God has for you. He was crying. He says, I want Jesus. How do I get to know him? I explained the gospel. I said, I can pray for you. He says, right here? I said, right here. But count the cost. He realized it. Not every one of us realizes that, what it takes. Because the Lord says, come to me. Bend your knee to me. I want to be Lord and Savior of your life. And I offered him that opportunity. We prayed and he cried and he said, I feel something in my body all the way through. And he had brokenness in his knees. He had hurt in his heart. He had met and encountered Jesus. He met the Savior and his Lord. I said, I gotta go. So as I'm waving and he's waving, he said, I'll never forget your face, because he was going somewhere. And I said, you know what? That's nice. I don't really care if you remember this face, but you need to remember the face of the one you just gave your life to and seek his face. And I'll see you someday in heaven, my brother in Christ. It's that simple. And I don't know what happened after that. We just keep going. So this is not to minimize any steps we take. So God may lead you a certain way. It might look a little different. But think, who am I carrying? Whose life do I carry? Who do I know? The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who says, peace be still. The Lord is bringing revival. And we're crying out for revival. And we're believing Holy Spirit is reviving that which needs to be revived. And we're believing for an entire outpouring of the Spirit of God in this world. And we're calling it in so that His fire and glory in this world, can I have that please? In this world will actually be what pleases Him. Thank you. And finally, the worship team. The worship team is coming up, and let me read this verse for you out of Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, hello, and deep darkness the peoples. That's where we are. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around about and see. Yes, they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. Lord, we just believe it today.
Yes,
we receive this today. We stand in Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. We stand in your presence. We rise up in your authority, the authority of heaven, because you are the great and mighty influencer in every way.
Jesus.
And we invite you to take us over, that we would exalt your name. And in your presence, there would be fullness of joy, and your peace would just overtake us, and that we would rise and shine, because we carry your light, and the light invades the darkness.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's worship the Lord together.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Love you, Lord.
Oh,
We celebrate your death. We celebrate your burial, God. You are
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. is who you are. Darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Oh,
You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Enjoying this worship, our time together. We're blessed to be here. We hope that you are well and blessed where you are. We're lifting up the name of the Lord because his name is a strong tower to us. When we run to him, we are safe. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
It's your strength today. It's not just a phrase. It's meaningful. It's substance to our lives. We love the Lord today. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
It's almost like these people aren't here. We love the Lord today. Amen?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
I guess we'll have to wait till Pastor Samuel shows up, and then there'll be some enthusiasm here. But we thank you, God, that we are able to depend on your word. And Psalm 91 was mentioned earlier. We just want to declare that out over you and for you. And we want you to look it up in your own Bibles and declare it over yourself and your household. This is your day. This is your weapon. This is your treasure, the Word of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. The perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but he shall come near you. But it shall not come near you. Sorry. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you. He's sending angels to you today. Angel armies. Who's the commander of the angel armies? Our Lord God Most High. He's sending them out to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up. You're lifted up by angelic hosts, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And we've said it over and over again in Frontline, 700 plus names and titles to activate today for your life, for my life. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I would welcome you to prepare for communion. We're going to take communion here so you can grab some elements very quickly as I continue to encourage you, hopefully. And we're just going to do that in a moment. So we'll give you a little bit of time to do that. But this past Sunday, we met together at Frontline, and we had a couple of things that we mentioned, a couple of passages that you'll want to look up on your own. We looked up Numbers 13 and 14 and spent a little time there where the spies went into the promised land. 10 spies came back with a bad report, a negative report. Does that sound like anything that's happening today? And 2 spies came back with the good report. We can take the land. We can take the promised land. We can defeat all the enemies. We are not grasshoppers, as it says in the passage. We are mighty men of God and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Caleb and Joshua gave the good report. Joshua later on leads the people into the promised land. And those that doubted never went into it. So we thank God for those passages. You might look those up, Numbers 13 and 14, and read through that. Drink it in. Let it inspire you. Let it give you more faith. Let that faith like a mustard seed that Jesus can multiply if you put it in his hand. Those are good passages to check out. And then we also talked about a number of other beautiful passages. Psalm 37, Psalm 34. You might check out some of those. I'm going to read Psalm 34. It's just too good not to read. A Psalm of David, when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. You can't just say, I'm going to work at getting rid of fear. We need the Lord's Holy Spirit inside of us to deliver us from fear. They looked at him and were radiant and delivered, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. He hears you. He hears your cries and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's the passage that has that phrase in it. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want in those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, finally. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He will teach us how to fear him. He will teach us. We're his children. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. We have to love in this time, watch our tongues. We could become so critical. We want to take that tongue and worship the Lord. Lift up his name during this time. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's watching us. And his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. He's hearing us today. Thank you, Father, for hearing our cries today in the midst of this plague. Father, we can come against it in Jesus' name. We can cry out to you, and you will be the one that fights the battle. Thank you, Jesus. And delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Repent before him of our sins and the sins of our nation. We did a lot of that in the last couple of days with online gatherings. Just repenting before the Lord. Asking him to forgive us and forgive our nation. Forgive us individually. Forgive the church. Forgive those that are doing evil. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 34:19, you might want to keep declaring that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. We have more to come. We want to share in communion. Hopefully you have obtained your elements, and we'll be able to share communion together, you and your household, and us here in this family room in Pines Hollow, Massillon, Ohio. So Rachel is going to come and lead us in communion.
Hello, Frontline family. Hello, Frontline kids. Hello, all of our partners around the world. I'm so thankful today that we get to share communion together, that we have a body of believers who love one another with the love of the Lord, and we get to share it today by sharing communion together. And I was thinking, as I was preparing for communion, how we are so blessed to be able to have this time to consider our covenant with the Lord. And I was talking with one of my kids this week about the way things feel around us in this time, where it's uncertain. We don't know what it's going to look like tomorrow. And I was telling my child that this happened to the Israelites in the Bible so many times, where they couldn't see what was going to happen in the future. They could only see what was happening to them right now. But they knew their God. They knew their covenant with their God, and they were able to walk forward with him. So in my time with the Lord this week, I found a place where that happened to the Israelites in 1 Samuel chapter 7. This is a time when the Lord was a waymaker, just like we sang out. He was a waymaker. At this time, Samuel was a priest for the Israelites and a judge, and they were being oppressed by the Philistines. And the Philistines had taken many of their lands. They had actually captured the Ark of the Lord, and they were oppressing the Israelites. Samuel gathered them all together to come before the Lord, to fast, and to repent for deliverance. And so they were all together in one place, and they were fasting and crying out to the Lord, repenting of their sins. And the Philistines heard about it, and they decided to come against them and attack them while they were all gathered there. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, They were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Now think with me, how would that be to hear the Lord thundering from heaven in such a powerful way that an army that is coming against you is confused and runs because of the thundering of the Lord? And I just want to say today that the Lord is still a deliverer. He's still thundering, and he is still with us in this way. And so it says the men of Israel went up and pursued the Philistines. They went from being on the defensive to the offensive, and they chased after the Philistines. They defeated them, and from that time on, Israel was able to gain back all of the territory that had been stolen from them. It all came back. And so I was thinking about how the Lord was a deliverer and a way maker for the Israelites that day, and how much more so as he is for us in this day, wherever you are, right here, Sunday morning, in our own homes. The Lord has made a covenant for us through his blood, by Jesus, having entered into the living way. And if you turn into your Bible to chapter, or into the book of Hebrews, from chapter 7 to chapter 11, those are great books, verses to read this week, as we're learning about how Jesus is a mediator of a new covenant for us. Because if you remember, Samuel had to offer a lamb to the Lord as a sacrifice. But in our day, Jesus has become the mediator of a perfect sacrifice for us. He gave his body and spilled his blood so that we could have a better covenant with the Lord. And so if you look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, it says, it talks about our new covenant. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." So we are standing today with a covenant with the God of heaven that is even better than the Israelites had on that day when he delivered them from a force, that an enemy that was coming against them, and they were defenseless. But yet we are standing here today with an even greater covenant, with a greater high priest. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man." So we are going to take communion today and just want to pray before we do that. In 1 Corinthians, it says that we are to examine ourselves before we take of the bread and the body and the blood of Jesus, and just let the Lord shine his light, that this is an act for those who have given their lives to Jesus, are in covenant with him, are in that new covenant. And so we just want to take time together to pray and ask the Lord to just show us if there's anything that we should repent for, to show us if we are in that relationship with the Lord and under that covenant, and then we want to partake together. Father, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you are the deliverer, that you are the way maker. Father, we ask that you would show us, speak to us, Lord. It says that you shine the light in our hearts. Father, we pray for any way that we have come against you and your plan. Father, we repent, Father. We ask you for your forgiveness. We ask you, Lord, for your reassurance. Lord, we ask you for your presence today as we remember you, as we take your body, and as we drink your blood. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood that has given us a new covenant.
Praise the Lord. We want to thank God for this day and another opportunity granted us to come into your home and have a fellowship with you. And this day is a great day for you and I. We really want to appreciate what God is doing. Pastor Mary Parks has spoken a lot. Pastor Bill has also spoken, and we have actually done with the Lord. This is another new day. And so we are here. We are here to meet you at your home and just encourage you with what the Lord is doing. He has done it for all of us, and we believe he's going to do it for you too. We are also want to encourage you to strengthen up your faith and believe God with everything that the Lord is doing, okay? I believe that what is happening in the world currently is something that, bothers. Everybody is thinking about it. Negatively, it's affecting people, but we can also take a positive side out of it. Many a times, the Lord will even have, will ask us to reach out to the unsaved ones. And as I was, thinking about what is happening, I realized that this coronavirus, has no limits. It has no borders. because it, I mean, it's all over the global world, and so you can see that it even goes to every person, doesn't know the believer and the unbelievers, doesn't know those who are, I mean, the adults as well as the young, the babies. That, I mean, the coronavirus has no limit and has no barrier. But we can learn something out of what is happening, you know. It just goes to anybody without any information. It just catch up to any person without making the person known or aware. So it is about time we have to learn something. As Christians, we have to learn something out of what is happening. The Lord has called us to reach out to the unsaved people, those who have not even come to know the Lord, and those who are far and those who are near. So we don't have any barriers to stop us from going. Just as this negative thing is happening, we can learn, we can take a cue out of it, you know. Now, this is what I believe the enemy is doing. If he has known that what he's doing against mankind, we will learn something out of it and then later on use it to overcome his work and his agenda, whereby we can stop him by taking people to hell. And we will preach to those people, he will not do it. He will not do it. Bible says if he had known that, sending Jesus Christ to the cross and people will be saved afterwards, he would not have sent Jesus Christ to the cross. So every disadvantage, there is advantage. And so I want to dwell on the advantage side of the entire, of the whole thing, of the story that is happening now. Now, if we know people who maybe they may think we don't have to be coming to them to preach the gospel, this is the time. This is the time. If, for instance, the people who have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and we are giving ourselves some time, to come before we get to them, then we are mistaken. You know, this sickness or this virus that is spreading all over, beloved, we can do something about it. We can learn something about it and then reach the people that we think it is not time for them to be saved. Or we can, I don't even know what to say, but I believe it is about time that whether the person is old, the person is young, the person is teenager, we have to reach them. And then tell them much about the love of God. Okay? Now, one more thing I want to tell you about is that in the Bible, I was just going through my Bible this morning, and in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20, I didn't even know that this thing has happened before. You know, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20, God said to the children of Israel, every one of them should go into their room and lock the door behind them. And this is what is happening. You walk on the street of New York, Manhattan, Canton here, every place, everybody has locked him or herself in the room because the government has said, or the governor has said, everybody should lock him or herself in the room with the family. Nobody should go out. And it has a time, and this time will expire. You know? And when you have locked yourself in the room, guess what? It gives you the opportunity to seek the face of God. It gives you the opportunity to pray the more. It gives you the opportunity, and then you fill yourself with the power of God. This is the time that people of God who have not, for some time now, have not been able to seek the face of God will be able to seek the face of God. You see, this situation have drawn many to the side of God. This situation have drawn many closer to God. This situation have even showed people how to pray. This situation have even give opportunity for people even to read the Bible. So you see, everything that happens, even though the enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. This is the time people are getting to be saved. People are running to God. This is the time people are beginning to be, to be afraid of God. Not that they want to get out from the ways of God, but they now see and they now know that indeed God is there and is the rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. So, beloved, what is happening, though it looks negative, but we can learn something out of it. And it is good that all things work for good together for those who love God. Okay? It is about time we have to go and look for the Lordship. You see, it is about time that we have to go and search for them. If coronavirus has been able to go and, has been spreaded all over the entire world, seeking for people to catch them, to arrest them, to affect them, and to cut them sick, and to kill them, then it is about time we have to go and seek for the lost ones. In the book of Luke, chapter 15, from verse 1 downwards, talks about the lost sheep, talks about the lost coin, it talks about the lost son. So it is about time that we have to go and seek for those guys and bring them, tell them what is happening. They are not included. They should come and believe the Lord Jesus Christ and God say and be saved. So this is the time that you and I have to do the work that He has sent us for. Okay? And I want to thank God for everything that is happening. Bible says, I want to encourage you, don't be afraid. Like Pastor Mary Pat has said, like Pastor Bill has said, and we have taken the communion. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. God is on your side. When you pray, the Lord will answer you. You pray for your families. You pray for your loved ones. You pray for the nation. You pray for even those who don't love you. Pray that they will all leave and that the gospel will reach them. So I want to thank you and I want to bless your name, Jesus. I want to use this opportunity as well to welcome my wife, Vera, to join me here. Just to say one or two things to you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo. Hallelujah.
I know we are in hard times, but God is able to do all things. All things. All things for us. Now, we know all the world has become calm. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, I quote, God has given us,
God has not given us.
Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't have to be afraid because God is with us. And the Bible says again that we are more than a conqueror. So now that everywhere has become calm and everybody is in the room, that time we have to know that our God is able. So we have to go close to the Lord. We pray with our children, to the unsaved ones, those who are have been affected and those who are not have been affected. We have to pray for everybody so that God in his own power will save all the world from this virus. We thank God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, our good friends.
Thank you.
Blessings from Africa. This is great. We just want to close today and say thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being with us. And we invite you to connect with us again Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll be live. So we look forward to everything the Lord wants to do for us and how we can gather together and worship him in spirit and in truth. So thank you so much. May you be blessed today. Father, I just give you praise and thank you and worship you. And Father, for your glory, we stand together in solidarity saying your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes. We thank you that we are sealed in your heart, sealed in your love. And we thank you, Lord, that our eyes are upon you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, thank you that we can trust you and fully depend on you. We just give you glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.